Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy, what day is today? Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
This summer blur together. I don't have a pace of the week in the summer.
Oh, that's on you.
School's out. Yeah.
It's the 9th of July, Wednesday.
9th of July. 12:04. A lot of big news developing in the last hour. It seems as though once the big, beautiful bill got passed, I was waiting to see. I've asked several Congress folks when they've been on the show with us, like, what's next? Now, we had Ryan Schmelz on the show yesterday, and he informed us that one of the things that's next is the budget. Are you excited about that?
No.
No?
No. I'm not excited about any of that.
I'm excited to see what they do. The rescissions package as well. Senator Eric Schmidt taking the lead on that rescissions package. There is so much more to come. And one of the main things that I think a lot of people, now I think it's, you got to kind of be a nerd about this if you're interested in this stuff. Because people aren't super politically inclined for the long haul that you need to be, if you're someone who's just like, wow, the economy sucks right now and we can't go the Kamala route, fine, I'll vote for Trump. Those people don't understand when you say Jim Comey, when you say Brennan, when you say dossier. I mean, every person who's been on the MAGA wagon since the first term hears the word dossier and growls about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they should. Fox News reports this morning, Greg Jarrett, we should get him on to talk about this. In a blockbuster report, the CIA has belatedly exposed the rank corruption among top intelligence officials who connived. I can hear him saying that. To frame President Trump and drive him from office during his first term. Their pernicious lie was that Trump colluded with Russia to rig the 2016 presidential election in his favor. The principal piece of so-called evidence was a document known famously, infamously, as the dossier. What do you know about the dossier?
I know that Michael Steele was involved. That's why it's called the Steele dossier.
Different than Danielle Steele.
Different than Danielle Steele or U.S. Steele. A company in Granite City. But I know that the dossier was a completely fabricated document paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2015-16. And it was meant to smear...
Are you reading this?
No.
Is this from your notes?
It's from memory.
Is this from your diary? Dear diary.
Well, my diary is my memory. So yes, I read my diary at times on the air.
Stick around for the 2 o'clock where I will read some of his diary on the air.
1996, a bad year.
It was secret. This is more from Fox News. It was secretly financed by Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democrats, conceived by a foreign agent with a checkered past in espionage, and then broken to solicitous collaborators at the FBI, CIA, and Department of Justice, and the Trump-hating media. Will Chamberlain is going to be here at 12:30 to talk about deep state and the legalese behind these investigations, what kind of actual results could we possibly get from this? Because are we just spending time revenging the situation? Are we just sitting here going, well, they were mean to me when we were in sixth grade, but now we're in eighth grade and we rule the roost, so we're going to get them back? I don't think that's what this is. I think we're going to be in a position to expose things that the American people can then utilize to decide how they are, in fact, going to act in the future, and also potentially break open the door on future investigations, firings possibly, that might exist from the Trump administration due to the exposure of the deep state. Now, another thing that's going on simultaneously. Today, Joe Biden's doctor was supposed to testify in a closed-door hearing in front of a congressional committee. Joe Biden was asked, were you asked to cover up President Joe Biden's medical state, his health, his condition, and lie about his ability to do the job of the presidency? And he said, I'll take the fifth. Ooh, that makes me want to know more. And I don't know how we're going to know more. I don't know how this all works. But I'll ask Will Chamberlain that as well at 12:30.
That's going to be a good one.
Saucy. Not surprising.
No. I mean, what else? That guy was either going to lie or he was going to take the fifth.
It's a lose-lose situation. If he's a doctor, a medical professional, he's like, I still think he looks sharp.
Yeah.
No. You're going to know. Do you have any other patients? If Joe Biden, if you're in the employ of the president of the United States or one of the most powerful families in the country, do you need to have like another client? I can imagine he's got like Joe Biden and Ryan Wiggins. Don't get us confused. I'm looking at this going, you either have to plead the fifth, because you can't lie. He can't lie. It'll be exposed. You can't lie. You either have to plead the fifth or you have to be honest and out yourself for being a lapdog, good for nothing, politics only focused individual who is willing to sell the country into potential World War III for some sort of kickback that you were getting. Scoundrel. That's what these people are.
Yes. If you get asked the question, were you covering up the mental decline, deep mental decline of the president of the United States? And you go, I can't really say. That means you are a part of the problem. A big problem.
A huge problem. And also one that inevitably is going to see the light of day. They will get to the bottom of this. To me, making the tax cuts permanent, it would have been an absolute disaster if those tax cuts wouldn't have been made permanent and the American people would have had to absorb the ramifications of it. If it wouldn't have gotten done this year, it would have gotten done in the first quarter of next year. They'd be made retroactive and it would just basically be the same thing as getting it done now, except for it would look like the Republicans can't get the work done. So politically, high fives all around. Good job. Way to get that finished. You had to get that taken care of. And then you have to win the midterms, or I might even put it this way, you just have to not lose the midterms. If we come out of 2026, even Stevens, we're good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at how much damage Joe Biden did to this country with a Kamala Harris tie-breaking vote in the Senate. We have more than that. We should increase our majority, Republican majority in the Senate. The House, who knows? And every month that we ask the question, who's going to win the House? The winds are going to change and blow back and forth the entire time. Although I just don't see that. I don't see the Democrat side of the aisle really making a strong effort to be like, we'd really like to compete for your vote and your attention. They're not winning. They're trying to beat Donald Trump again. And in the midst of trying to beat Donald Trump, Donald Trump continues to own the Democrats. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe Concha. I'm excited to have him on. I was talking about the deep state, the legalese part of the investigations. Were there crimes committed? What is Will Chamberlain looking to see bubble out of this where there's actually evidence that might allude to such crimes? I would say that trying to, I don't know, how would you put it, sway the outcome of an election, election interference, all of this stuff that they were actually in the midst of the dossier, the Russia collusion thing. They were accusing Donald Trump of trying to sway an election, to steal an election. Everybody talks about election interference and you think in 2020. Oh, no. The Democrats wrote the book on it 4 years earlier and lost, ironically, still. They got better at it in 2020, it appears. There's the legal stuff that's going to go on, but I really, really can't wait to talk to Joe Concha about this next, because the deep state can deep state. They can try to do the things and manipulate the things, but the whole dossier was supposed to be a political firestorm to, how did Peter Strzok say it? They won't elect him. We won't let him. We won't let them. The interference was not to sabotage Donald Trump's presidency in his first term. It was to guarantee that he never got elected in the first place. and they failed on that. Now we have to sit and wait and see how the media's culpability ties in with what they did behind the scenes in the deep state.
Jonathan, we've been hearing for some time about Brennan's alleged perjury over his role in the Steele dossier and the advancement of that, and perhaps understanding that that was not credible. Your reaction tonight to this stunning development?
Well, it's obviously a major development. These are two of the top people in the American intelligence system. And there have been these long unanswered questions about what they told Congress. At points, they both seem to adopt the Sergeant Schultz approach of, I knew nothing. If only I knew, I would have done something. That didn't strike many as being very credible. Both of these tend to be somewhat of micromanagers. They take pride in the fact that they followed the details of their departments. And it all comes down particularly to a period in 2017, an intelligence community assessment, an ICA, that went out and viewed the Steele dossier, that infamous dossier funded by the Clinton campaign, as credible, and that, in fact, Steele was credible. They knew that was not true.
Jonathan Turley, of course, a legal expert, weighing in on what they did know, what we know that they knew, and then what they testified for. So this criminal investigation, Comey and Brennan both under this, there are going to be a lot of investigations, as there should be, many questions asked of the deep state, and hopefully full exposure of what they actually did to you, the American individual, the voter, your autonomous voice. Trying to be swayed by this deep state. And the real big question at the end of the day is, what were they so afraid of? Why was Donald Trump so frightening to them? And what was so necessary to protect in Hillary Clinton that they would go to these lengths? I propose that they never would have even attempted to do the lengths of which they did if the media wouldn't have been there hand in hand, willful, excited and energized to help them along. That's what we're going to ask Joe Concha about when we come back. Fox News contributor, a writer at the Washington Examiner as well. Go say hi to him on X at Joe Concha TV and say hi to him on the Annie Fry Show in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Brennan, the thought... Yep. About him was that he, reportedly he forced the inclusion of the Steele dossier into this entire investigation. Yet it was kind of like, oh, look, me, who, what, when it was brought up. So that's what I think they're focused on regarding Brennan. Your reaction tonight.
They are. Well, first of all, I want to say something very clearly, Laura. There's going to be people on the left and the corporate propagandists who are going to start screaming, this is political revenge. This is about settling political scores. That has nothing to do with any of that. This actually has to do with restoring the rule of law and the equal application of the law. You know, John Brennan, of everything that we're seeing now, went out of his way to include the fake Steele dossier, which he knew was fake, in that 2017 ICA to legitimize that document so it could be justifiably used to target the duly elected president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Oh, watch out, Joe.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Fox News contributor and writer at the Washington Examiner. Make sure you check out his writing over there. I certainly will be. Joe, welcome back to the show. Good to have you.
Outstanding to be here, and happy belated 4th. Can we still say that on July 9th?
Oh, heck yes. Yeah, you can say that. Every day is Independence Day in America. At least it is again. So I just watched you on Outnumbered, and I saw you talking about some of this story. I was going to ask you specifically, it'll be interesting to see how the investigations pan out, criminal charges against Comey and Brennan. Could the deep state have gotten away with what the deep state attempted to get away with if the media wouldn't have been so lapdog willing to run with the story?
Ooh, you mean like when BuzzFeed took that garbage document that was the Steele dossier and just put it out there in full? When even news organizations, as biased as they are, said this thing is unsubstantiated and we can't run with it. I know my publication at the time certainly rejected it. But BuzzFeed put it out there, then CNN followed suit from there, and then it just snowballed after that. And then even after that, Comey goes on CNN, and I think he was on with Tapper, and Tapper's like, well, is that part true about the Russian prostitutes and peeing on the bed and Donald Trump? And Comey goes, well, you know, it could be. You know, in other words, like, he's such a liar, because now he's saying, oh, I didn't push that Steele dossier in any way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. So here's what I know, Annie, and this is why I said they're not numbered. I'll repeat it for your audience. We know that Comey and Brennan and Clapper are bad actors based on what they did after they left or got fired from their respective agencies, right? John Brennan, you watch him on MSNBC, you might as well, if you put like a dark wig and glasses on him, it might as well be Rachel Maddow. It's like the same kind of analysis, right, around Russia, which is kind of a scary vision that I'm not going to be able to get out of my head anytime soon. And then Clapper, same thing, signs with CNN, and it's just all anti-Trump stuff. And they do it from such a pious level of like, oh, we're such morally ethical great people, when Clapper literally lied and perjured himself in front of Congress. And then James Comey, when he isn't playing with seashells and calling for the elimination of Donald Trump, wrote two anti-Trump books and had a Showtime series in his honor. So the way these guys have acted afterwards clearly shows you that they were not apolitical in their jobs. They were activists, and just as bad as anything we see from the DNC or MSNBC or CNN.
How much of the American appetite needs to be hungry for answers on this in order for the investigation to continue to expose every ounce of collusion within the deep state about collusion with Russia? I mean, do the American people have to buy into this in order for this to continue on?
I think, Annie, unfortunately, we live in a world now where you're going to see the MAGA base and some independents say, yeah, we absolutely need accountability around this because we can't have our intelligence agencies weaponized to take out a presidential candidate. That's the logical, obvious, common sense, sane thing to do. Then the left will just say, oh, this is Donald Trump just trying to get revenge against his political enemies. There's nothing here, and we shouldn't pursue this, just like they believe that nothing should be pursued as far as Joe Biden and his brain turning to jello, and we don't know who runs the country with this auto pen and a shadow government. They're like, we got to move on from that. We just got to look to the future. So this will be a 50-50 type of thing where 50% of the country says nothing to see here, or Donald Trump's just acting petulant and getting revenge, and 50% of the country will say there's absolutely something here. So I don't know what that does as far as moving the ball forward.
I wonder how much of that can be managed by what gets pushed out. I mean, there can be investigations going on in the background that really aren't at the forefront of what the American people are consuming, especially, you know, a lot of people be hung up on Elon Musk right now. I don't find it to be a particularly important story, but it's a sexy one to discuss. Like, it's something that people are going to talk about. For instance, James Comer puts out today on X, ironically, President Joe Biden's physician, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, just pleaded the fifth at his deposition before Congress today. They asked him if he was instructed to and agreed to lie about Joe Biden's mental capabilities when he was the president. He said, I'll take the fifth. I think that's kind of the same boat as what you're talking about, 50-50 in the country. But I still think the answers are important to find.
Oh, God, yes. Again, it doesn't come from a conservative point of view that you're saying that. It comes from the fact that we had a president who was incapacitated, and we had orders literally being signed by people who were not elected. And that's the thing. When you hear about Democrats screaming about how only they can save democracy alone, and then they acted the way they did with Joe Biden and installing Kamala Harris or trying to take Donald Trump off the ballot or trying to put him in jail, the most anti-Democrat things you could possibly think of. So if this big, beautiful bill does what I think it will do, and many economists think it will do, where the economy really takes off and we're able to get peace and maintain it between Iran and Israel and in Gaza, I think, you know, Russia is going to make it a long shot as far as Russia and Ukraine. But hey, we tried. I think overall, if we have relative peace and absolute prosperity, you tell me what Democrats are going to run on, because that whole saving democracy thing and fighting the oligarchy just ain't cutting it right now.
What they were accusing Donald Trump of doing, they were in the very moment doing. They were attempting to steal an election from the American people in order to perpetuate some sort of bureaucracy that is behind the curtain. I mean, they were doing and you know, shaking their fists at the sky about how terrible and almost treasonous, if not treasonous, the behavior was of Donald Trump, that was a made up lie, and they knew it, and they were trying to steal that election. How much money was made on books and on tours because of the like the Hillary Clinton, what happened? And then she retold the Russia story.
Yeah. And you could go on and on as far as, you know, I mentioned Comey's books before. Let's see, Jonathan Carl, supposed to be the objective White House correspondent for ABC News, wrote 3 anti-Trump books. I could go through with Acosta and Tapper and just down the line, all these people, Woodward, who profited off of this. I just think, you know, what we see in Texas now, for example, as far as our agents getting ambushed, and these are coordinated attacks, too. These are rehearsed. These are trained. And Democrats aren't condemning them in any way, shape or form. That tells you where this party is, where they came and say, hey, I mean, you want to protest ICE agents in terms of what they're doing. You disagree with it. That's fine. It's the First Amendment thing. But we can't obviously have violence against them. But you tell me how many prominent Democrats or any Democrats have come out and said, this is wrong. You can't do this. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to within that party. They're going to have to break loose. Last question for you. The big, beautiful bill signed on to 4th of July. It's like President Trump's able to manifest these things. He doesn't care how the sausage is made. Just get it done and get it done on time. He was able to achieve that. You said that you think that that's going to bust this economy open in a really big way. How's that lead into the midterms next year at this point in time?
It would be everything, right? And think about if it didn't pass. Let's say the Thomas Massey's and the Rand Paul's and the Tom Tillis's of the world. They're like, well, this has too much spending in it. I agree. But then again, if you cut too much spending, you would have lost moderate Republicans and this thing never would have passed. And guess what would have happened if it never passed? Then you have this huge tax hike. The spending still stays way too high. You don't get all the provisions as far as border security, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. You could think about all the benefits here. So thank God that some of these Republicans that resisted were defeated, and all the credit in the world, not only to Donald Trump, obviously he willed this over the finish line. He has coattails like we haven't seen from a president sometime, but Mike Johnson with almost no margin to work with all these different factions of Republicans needing all these different things. And they were able to make that sausage get through the grinder. And now here we are where, you know, a big win for President Trump and Democrats. Again, what did they accomplish in the last 5 years besides the Inflation Reduction Act? I can't find anything.
It did not reduce inflation. That's the wild part of it.
It did not, did it?
Even though the CBO did say that it would. So chalk another one up for the CBO.
Sure.
Joe Concha, thanks for being with us. Happy Independence Day. I haven't talked to you since then. We appreciate your time today.
Always a pleasure, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, you're going to check out his book, and you're going to be so glad you did. Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. It's called The Greatest Comeback Ever. This is the vacation read that you have been looking for. You're sitting on the beach, you're flipping through, and you're reminiscing because you know how that story ended. Huh. So good. Go get The Greatest Comeback Ever. I got the audiobook and I was listening to Joe Concha read it on the audiobook while I was walking around Washington, D.C. That was amazing. That was I recommend that. But it's probably cheaper to just get the book. You don't have to book a trip to D.C., but you can. When we come back, Will Chamberlain, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, is going to walk us a little bit deeper into the Comer and Brennan criminal charges that we discovered yesterday. What are they? How do they materialize? You bring it down to my level, and hopefully we all learn a little bit. Will Chamberlain, of course, one of the best at it. We're grateful to have him on the show, and he is with us when we return. Don't go away.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news, Brooke Singman of Fox News Digital has discovered exclusively that the FBI is now investigating the former CIA director John Brennan and the former FBI director James Comey in conjunction with the genesis of the Russia investigation. This comes after the CIA declassified last week a report into how that all came about.
It reminds me of like the Austin Powers movie where he's like, why won't you die? It's the Russia collusion story. Will not die, but this time it's being brought back to life by the victorious Trump part two situation in the White House. It's amazing that this entire story has lived out this entire decade. We've been doing this for a decade now almost, and Donald Trump's on top. We're getting to the bottom of it, or are we? Let's ask Will Chamberlain, bring him back on to the Annie Fry Show, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. Will, I had a heartwarming moment when I saw these charges being brought against Comey and Brennan. I want answers. I wonder if you think we're going to get them.
Well, so first off, I hate to burst your bubble just a little bit, but the charges haven't been brought yet.
Hopefully.
Just all that has been confirmed is that there is a criminal investigation into Brennan. And I believe that there's been a that's open and underway. There's also been a referral for James Comey. I don't know that the DOJ confirmed that the investigation of the investigation of Comey is also underway as well. So there's been confirmed of that investigations of both are coming. Mm. That doesn't mean that much. It just means there's FBI people looking into it and seeing if they can put together a prosecutable case. They're looking at the inception of the Russia investigation, whether or not there were crimes committed in the sort of deceptive and rushed effort to try and bring forward this false narrative that President Trump was in bed with the Russians. And then they're also looking about whether or not there's perjury and false statements made to Congress. That's the core of it. But we're not even at the charging stage. We're in purely the investigation.
So we're going to do things differently in this administration than the other one, where you find out what you want to charge first and then you try to do the investigations to win the public's opinion over. Are you saying the Trump administration that wants Donald Trump at least wants revenge, they're not just going to do it the Biden way?
Apparently not. Apparently, they're actually going to go ahead and, you know, figure out whether or not these people have committed crimes before charging them with crimes. Now, I will say normally this is not the normal course of procedure. Normally, they don't, publicly announce investigations. And I guess they haven't here. But certainly some DOJ sources leaked the existence of these investigations to Fox News.
So
both Brennan and Comey are notorious leakers themselves, so I don't think they have much to complain about.
True. Do you feel like, I mean, James Comey is one of the most smug people that I've seen in the swamp, come out of the swamp and look like he never got any swamp on him, although I think he is the swamp creature. Do you feel like, is he nervous at all today that anything, he's going to get anything coming to him?
I don't know. Maybe it's hard to say. I'm sure he's not looking forward to the prospect of a federal criminal investigation, but he's had this coming. I mean, he admitted publicly to some really shady behavior, especially at the beginning of the first Trump term when he went after Michael Flynn. He knew that he shouldn't have been able to send his FBI agents into the White House and have them interview Michael Flynn without the say of, you know, without the sign off of the White House counsel. And he didn't get it. And I remember he was at a conference and he's like, in a more mature White House, I would have had to get clearance from the, but, you know, because it was the beginning, they didn't really know what they were doing. So I was able to get my guys in there right away. It's like, oh, you mean you were planning out a way to be insubordinate against the White House, which was your boss. And you're bragging about this in public because you can. I think, you know, that arrogance may come back to bite him.
The biggest question that I have, and I mean, if I had the answer to this, I'd be writing a book and making millions of dollars on it, like Comey and Brennan. I want to know, with all those actions like what you're talking about, and that is just scratching the surface on the usurping that took place with these individuals, why would they do it? What were they afraid of if Donald Trump got elected? Or why did they have to work so hard to get Hillary Clinton elected? Because certainly their actions were trying to put a fist on the scale, not just a finger on the scale. They were trying to steal an election, which is what they manufactured against Trump. Do we know what they were so afraid of or why they would go to these lengths to try to put their finger on the scale?
We don't know. But, you know, one can guess because you just have to get back to the mindset. It's hard to remember what people were talking about in 2015. That's 10 years ago now, you know, 2015, 2016, when all this was going on. It's a long time ago. But people really thought Trump was like going to be a complete insane dictator. I remember that the left and even a lot of moderate Republican centrist types were Trump is insane. The country will be destroyed. Clearly not. Clearly, that's not borne out by the evidence at all. And it was ridiculous, honestly, at the time. But it was a lot of people really thought it. And so, you know, that combination plus the idea that everybody expected Hillary to win. And so they, you know, I'm sure these people felt like they were doing Hillary a favor and they could expect a favor returned when President Hillary was in office. So a combination of those two things.
Hmm. I have to recoil when you say President Hillary. Still a little spooky to hear that.
Yeah.
You never know. 2028 is right around the corner. Do you feel like the people who are, so is the investigation right now into Comey and into Brennan is in the hands of the FBI? Is that correct?
Yes.
And
yeah.
This is Kash Patel's FBI?
Yes.
Do we trust that?
Yeah, of course we trust Cash. Why wouldn't we trust Cash?
Well, there's a lot of questions out there right now as to whether or not he can handle
it. Oh, I've seen those. Oh my gosh, those are so silly. Cash Patel is responsible for uncovering much of the wrongdoing related to Russiagate. People need to remember that. This is the guy who, when he was working for Devin Nunes, uncovered so much of the nonsense, what Adam Schiff was doing, what a number of other people inside the FBI were doing. He uncovered a lot of the information we found about Crossfire Hurricane. This is a guy who's been on our side for a very long time, loyal to the movement, loyal to the president. He is a very, very good faith actor. And the idea that people would presume some sort of bad faith here is absurd. He can absolutely be trusted. Now, I'm sure there are people underneath him who cannot, but he's still the guy in charge at the end of the day, and he can be trusted.
And that's kind of the situation that the president got elected into, which is they got to figure out where those weak links or the bureaucracy, the swamp links are. And to your point, like, who's better to do that than Kash Patel? But a lot of the questioning around the Epstein files, I suspect that we're not getting the whole picture, but also that maybe Kash Patel isn't in a position to say things that he can't publicly, for whatever particular reason, prove at this point in time. But with all of the people in Donald Trump's cabinet, with everything that has come together to support President Trump, now President Trump, then candidate Trump, America decided to put their trust in him. I don't know why all of a sudden we should question that trust when he seems to have a pretty good judge of character. And if he no longer trusts Kash Patel, or if he does still trust Kash or Pam Bondi or anybody, I feel like maybe he still gets the benefit of the doubt from his supporters.
Yeah. And I mean, of course he should. The alternative is to assume that the guy you elected and voted for is acting in bad faith with regards to the abuse of children. That's absurd. He's not doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't more to the Epstein story. But the idea here is, I believe firmly that Kash and Dan are telling the truth when they say we don't have evidence pointing to third party criminality beyond what was prosecuted when it comes to Epstein and Maxwell. And that could be for one of two reasons. One of them is that really, you know, all the theories we had about broader criminality from third parties aren't true. And that really the criminality was centered on Maxwell bringing young women to Epstein. And that was the basis of it. The second option is that there was evidence of third party criminality that's been destroyed in the intervening 15 years. We have to remember this is a very old case, and a lot of administrations have been in charge prior to Kash and Dan now taking office. Does anybody really think they were just going to find, you know, the smoking gun evidence laying around in some FBI closet? No, that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whatever you think, I mean, and I'm not sure which is more likely at this point, but whatever you think, you should just assume these guys are acting in good faith. And the other reason I'd say that is when they were out of office, when they were private citizens, both Kash and Dan made some aggressive claims about the Epstein case. They were out there saying the FBI could do a lot more, they should release the list, blah, 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 blah. Now that they're in office, they're like, oh, I can't do that. And I think you have to look at that and say they'd really like to be able to prove their initial predictions correct. So the fact that they're now coming out and being like, guys, we can't do what we said we should be able to do, that's an admission against interest. I think they know they don't look good. I don't think they're having a good week.
Yeah.
But I think that's a reason to trust that they're telling the truth now, because if they could make it work, they would.
Yeah. The credibility of character to be able to go out there and know, man, this is going to suck after we did the cuts that are going to be put together of what Bongino said and what he's saying right now. And also, I think that everybody watching and listening, I've seen you talking a lot about this on X, and I encourage people to follow you at Will Chamberlain on X. You're very level, which is what I appreciate. Mm-hmm. X is not a place for where level-headed yeah. folks have discussions, so you are an outlier in that, and I appreciate that. But Trump keeps winning. Trump continues to be
yes.
right, and it's all the only reason why Trump hasn't been proved right on most things is because not enough time has passed yet. And so the freaking out, or the new word, panicking, like, have a beer and sit down and chill out and just wait a minute. And then you probably, like, all of that unnecessary energy spent towards freaking out and wringing your hands over whether or not this is going to turn out right. I mean, unless you don't have any other hobbies, I just don't know why people do it.
I mean, you got to think about it. The guy, like, went into office campaigning on securing the border. He did. Border crossings have dropped 95%. We've got a massive, 20 times increase in government funding for ICE and border security with the Big Beautiful Bill. Foreign policy, we have, basically a massive improvement in Iran. We've got multiple peace deals signed in Africa, one in Central Asia. He's doing what he said he would do on foreign policy and domestic policy. He's had an incredible 6 months. And then all of a sudden to flip out and be like, oh, yeah, actually, he's involved in a very incredibly complicated cover-up of Jeffrey Epstein's involvement with Mossad or something. I like, what? No, calm down. you have to be able to accept the idea that a lot, I think people have really gotten fixed. It's like they went from thinking something might be possible vis-a-vis Epstein to believing with 100% certainty it was true. And it's like, whoa. I mean, if we had told you 2 years ago that in 2 years Dan Bongino was going to go in and be the deputy director of the FBI and be the guy reviewing all these files, and then he'd come out and say, guys, I've looked at him, there's a lot less here than you think, and in terms of third party culpability, wouldn't you have said 2 years ago, like, okay,
yeah,
if that happens, like, okay, maybe we were wrong. Well, yeah, now it's happening.
And then a lot of the accusations, too. It's so important to highlight people who are trying to use this as an opportunity to say, well, Trump's definitely in the Epstein files. Folks, if he was in the Epstein files, we would have known it immediately. Look at what they were, to the Comer Brennan thing, look at what they were willing to make up. If they would have had actual evidence, please.
This is like the goofy libertarian thing. Like, not that all libertarians are goofy, but all goofy people are libertarian.
that's a good old logic right there. We're going to put that one on social media. I'm tagging you, and we're going to take the heat for it.
Yeah. That's a funny clip. But the point being that, like, you have a class of people that are really trying to get Trump, and they're angry about, like, the Iran strike, for instance, you know, which I don't know why you're angry about that. The war ended 48 hours after the strike. We didn't kill a single person. But they're mad about that, or they're mad about something else. And so it's this, you know, they're mad about the Jews, who knows, but then they end up kind of being super angry about the Epstein thing. And it's like, no, if you're actual, like, Trump MAGA voter, and what your policy concerns weren't ultimately the resolution of, like, a 20-year-old criminal case, they're immigration, the economy, jobs, foreign policy, no regime change wars. You're getting all of the things that he ran on, that you're getting his platform, and the people trying to spin you up and get you really angry about the Epstein stuff are probably not core members of the Trump coalition, and they're probably angry at Trump over other things. Like, Elon Musk is a good example of that.
Yeah, amen. Well, sense and sensibility here with Will Chamberlain. Thank you for being here with us. We always appreciate you. Come back soon.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Will Chamberlain of Article 3 Project. As I said, the level-headedness on X with Will Chamberlain is always welcome. I like watching. He's willing to dive headfirst in, and I'm willing to just watch that happen because I don't have the fortitude to fight with people on X or to just throw out there some, okay, everybody calm down. Everything's going to be fine. I mean, that's not what X is for. X is for engagement. Anywho, let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, workplace trends, positive or negative. Of course, Wiggins America taking us where no other radio show would go. Next, don't go away. Something's in the air. Whoa.
Something big, I feel it happening out in my Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you pray yes or no? Several people in the chat today are saying it's going to be a clean sweep. They think this is the closest we're going to get to 100%. Might want to weigh in on that and sway it, hopefully, towards that 100%. That's my hope. All right, Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, as I do, I like to bring you the latest trends in everything. These are the trends in your workforce, in your office, or really, it could be anywhere. Because some of these don't apply necessarily to an office. Number one, career catfishing. Now, of course, we have new terms to learn here, but career catfishing is one that I'm not sure has existed up until now, at least not popularly. This is accepting a job offer, but only showing up for one day or not at all.
Considering it. Can I get away with that?
You can.
Okay.
No, you can't. You're past that. You've been here too long. You can get rehired.
Probably not. Well, actually, no. In radio, probably.
Quit and come back tomorrow and be like, nothing happened.
I saw a tweet yesterday or this morning maybe, and I said, my wife and I decided to quit our jobs and travel until we run out of money. Should be back home by 9 p.m. tonight. But I can really do that.
So this is becoming increasingly common. A recent survey said that 29% of Gen Z workers surveyed said they were career catfishing. They would accept a job and just never show up for it. I don't know exactly why, other than I guess if you're just casting a wide net, you just go, sure, and you just take everything, but you're not actually starting anything.
How much are you applying for?
I don't know the answer to that. If you're applying for a lot of jobs, though, this seems like something that I guess you... I don't know why you would accept it, though. Like, I'll take it until something better comes along, and then you're like, nothing better came along, but I still don't want it.
This is just one of many things that concerns me about my generation.
Career.
You'll be fine.
Catfishing.
I am not concerned about myself.
No, your generation will be fine.
I don't know. They're pretty dumb.
Every generation at that age is dumb. It's the age. Mm-hmm. It's the details change. And I firmly remember being, you know, when the word millennial came out and everybody was like, oh, millennials. It's just like kids these days. It's just a different word.
It is.
I think that now with social media, we have a way to more broadly make fun of them.
Although, you would say that the work ethic of America in general has gone downhill.
Sure, I blame Democrats.
And
entitlement has gone up.
That's fine, and entitlement's gone up.
There's a safety net that exists for people that if you don't do it for yourself, eventually you'll be able to get it from someone else, at least a version of it.
That's a fact. If you don't have to fend for yourself, if you just kind of get stuff because I don't really feel like working.
Also, speaking of social media, you can see people who document their purchases off of federal state aid. And yes, they brag about the fact that they don't do anything.
Oh my gosh. I was like, please keep making these videos.
Yeah.
Keep that front and center.
That's not everybody who's taking aid, but it is certainly some people who
and
take
it,
aid.
And it ruins it for the people that are.
Amen to that. Amen.
And yeah, when it becomes a lifestyle, I think that's when we all are like, really?
It's not
a safety net anymore. It's just your life. White fonting. This has nothing to do with race, I promise. It's the use of AI tools that has grown both inside and outside the finance function, particularly the hiring process. Do you know what white fonting is yet? I mean, have you heard of this yet?
No, sounds racist.
It's not.
I think this is racist.
I already told you guys it's not. Stop it. This has led to some candidates engaging in white fonting, which involves adding hidden keywords to your document, like your resume,
you can't see,
in white font. You don't have any reason to put expert in Excel on there, but you're going to put it on there in white font.
So
they can't actually read it.
Kicks out.
But the AI would pick it up.
Interesting.
See, that is a practical skill that could be put to good use.
I know.
I might use that one.
Hey, are you putting together a resume?
Knock it off.
I'm going to take your computers away from you.
My wife does that on test or instructions.
Don't say that.
Oh, yeah, don't tell
them. Don't say that.
Don't tell them. But now everybody knows.
Now
oh, wait, dump
knows.
That, Brad. You can do it.
All right, I guess we're heading to a break. If we got more, we'll hit to it in the 2 o'clock hour. We also have X's and Y's in the 2 o'clock hour, and we are going to ask questions of the opposite sex and get down to some of those answers. I've got questions from my kids for that segment. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.